We about to get this paper. I can't let these people play me. Name one genius that ain't crazy. Follow, I follow you. Borrow, I motto. I'm a Chicago Southsider. I'm a Chicago Southsider. Hey, y'all heard about the good news? Y'all sleeping on your boy, had a good snooze.
Welcome back to Random Thoughts by a Random Dude, Sports Talk with Zeke Trezevant. As the title says, this episode here is going to be specifically about the WNBA, the season up until this point, and then we'll speak about the WNBA finals as well. So on the agenda specifically is going to be the yearly awards, playoff results, and then the finals specifically in terms of the Aces and the Storm. So as we spoke about last time, the cool thing about the WNBA is that it's a little bit more concise than the NBA. It's a lot easier to kind of tell what's going on. The nuances aren't nearly as thorough as they are in the NBA, which for me is a good thing. They already play the best technical basketball. And then if you ask me, it's also easy to understand. So let's get to it. My goal here is to always help people understand the WNBA more, hopefully become more of a fan, even if that means, hey, just watching an extra game that you probably wouldn't have watched if it wasn't for listening to me. So let's get to it, starting with the yearly awards. Rookie of the Year, Crystal Dangerfield, Minnesota Lynx. Now, Crystal fell to the second round of the WNBA draft. Most people would agree she probably could have gone in the first round. I think she would agree that she could have gone in the first round. But then you win Rookie of the Year. You're the first second round draft pick to ever win it. I think we can say that you probably should have went in the first round. So I'll give you an idea of Crystal's history because she didn't come out of nowhere. She was the nation's top point guard coming out of high school. She finished fifth in UConn's women's basketball history in assists. That was one spot ahead of Sue Bird, and I was three spots behind Diana Taurasi. Anytime you're in any kind of a statistical sandwich with Sue Bird and or Diana Taurasi, that speaks volumes about you, especially when you went to such a basketball powerhouse like UConn. So shout out to her for that. Hell of a career at UConn. In terms of the WNBA, she was one of only 11 players in the last 11 years to play a game and be under 5'6". Not a season, a game, right? Think about how big of a feat that is. Then she finished the season 16 points per game, 3.6 assists. She did that without two of her best teammates in Sylvia Fowles, who only played seven games, and Maya Moore, who is a legend in herself. Shout out to Maya Moore. Congrats on getting married. Everybody who knows me knows Candace Parker. Maya Moore is bae. Maya Moore is one of the best basketball players, man or a woman, that I've ever seen play. So I'm happy to see her happy. Can't wait to see you get back on the court. But back to Crystal Dangerfield, 16 points per game, 3.6 assists per game. And you're doing that without two of your best players. And I spoke about Maya for a minute, but we can talk about Sylvia Fowles for a second as well. Sylvia Fowles is, I would say, probably one of the best interior players in the WNBA. For you to not have Sylvia Fowles cannot be understated. I've seen her up close and personal at games, and it's like, you put three people on Sylvia and she's still going to go get that rebound. She's still going to get the easy layup and you're probably going to foul her. So now she's on the free throw line as well. I've seen Sylvia Fowles dominate games. I've seen obviously Maya Moore dominate games. To be missing both of those as a rookie and still lead your team to the fourth team overall in the playoffs, that's huge. Now in terms of Crystal, she led the team in scoring in the regular season. And then she was second in the league, the entire league, in fourth quarter scoring. Hell of a year, Crystal. Congrats to you. Keep that up. Keep proving people wrong. Keep showing why you probably should have been a first round draft pick. That was the Rookie of the Year. Next up is going to be Coach of the Year. I put them back to back because they go hand in hand. Crystal Dangerfield playing for the Minnesota Lynx is going to be the coach of the Minnesota Lynx, Cheryl Reeve. Now, again, like we spoke about a little bit with Crystal, head coach Cheryl didn't have Maya Moore. She didn't have Sylvia Fowles. They just traded Simone Augustus, who is one of the better veterans in the league, and she still went 14-8 on the season. That's crazy to be able to do that without your best three players and then be able to coach up a player from the second round to becoming Rookie of the Year. Now, Cheryl Reeve, to give you an idea, this is her third time winning the Coach of the Year, which ties a WNBA record. Cheryl has won four of the last 11 WNBA championships. That's almost half the championships. I'm not good at math, but I know four is almost half of 11. That says a lot. Four out of 11 championships in any sport, that's borderline domination. Next up, MVP Asia Wilson Like we spoke about last time on our WNBA episode, Asia Wilson, superstar in the making, 20 points a game, 8 rebounds, 18-4 record, number one seed this season. This is her third season in the WNBA. She not only won MVP, but she was only 4 votes away from a unanimous decision. I think she's going to get that unanimous MVP before she retires. Quickly, let's talk about Asia's last 4 years. You want to talk about a whirlwind? Let's talk about it. Asia Wilson, in her last 4 years, has won WNBA MVP, WNBA Rookie of the Year. She's gone to the All-Star Game 2 out of the 3 years that she's been in the WNBA. She's playing in the WNBA Finals this year. She's a college basketball national championship. She was voted the best player in the college basketball NCAA tournament, the entire tournament. To do all of that in 4 years is simply amazing. That is a career worth of stats. There are people who play 10 years in the league, 15 years in the league, and don't accomplish that. Asia has done that in 4. And again, she's only been in the league in 3, right? So that was her college career mixed in there as well. So only having 3 years in the league, the sky is truly the limit. She can easily play another 7, 10, 12 years. And as long as she's staying healthy, she can still probably do what she's doing for the majority of her career. So shout out to Asia. Last and certainly not least is my favorite WNBA player of all time, Candace Parker. Now, Candace won Defensive Player of the Year, adding to her litany of awards. But understand that Candace has been doing this for a very long time. And just like we've gone over pre-WNBA career of Asia Wilson, the pre-WNBA career of Crystal Dangerfield, let's talk a little bit about the pre-WNBA career of Candace Parker. Now, I understand my love for Candace started back in when she was in high school. Now, Candace is 3 or 4 years older than me, so I was a little bit younger watching her just ball out. I mean, it was really what it came down to with her at the McDonald's All-American game. Candace Parker beat J.R. Smith, Rudy Gay, and Josh Smith in a dunk contest. Now, I understand that J.R. Smith is more of a meme these days than a basketball player, but I don't think J.R. Smith is one of the best natural dunkers to ever come through the NBA. Same with Josh Smith, one of the best natural dunkers to ever come through the NBA. And Candace Parker beat both of them at arguably their athletic peak. Now let's talk about some of the things Candace has accomplished. John R. Wooden Award twice, 2007, 2008. College Basketball Player of the Year, 2008. AP Female Athlete of the Year, 2008. EuroLeague Champion, 2013. WNBA career, WNBA All-Rookie Team in 08, 5-time All-WNBA First Team Awards, 2-time All-WNBA Second Team Award, 2-time WNBA All-Defensive Second Team Award, 2-time WNBA Rebounding Leader, 2-time WNBA MVP, WNBA Finals MVP, and a WNBA Champion. That's on top of being a national champion in college. All Candace Parker does is win. Congratulations on that DPOY. Add that to the trophy case, Candace. Keep balling on out, homie. So we got the yearly awards out the way. Next up, we're going to talk about playoff results from this year. Just like the NBA, the WNBA is in a bubble of their own. Now, the WNBA, just like their season is shortened, the playoffs are shortened as well, just how it naturally is. The first 2 rounds of the WNBA playoffs are win or go home. So it doesn't matter, you know, how good or bad you are. You know, if you play bad, if you're a good team and you play bad in the first round, you can lose to a worse team, which we've seen happen really year after year. And then the semifinals and the finals are 5-game series. So the first 2 series are win or go home, single elimination. The second are best of 5 series. So this year, Phoenix beat the Mystics. Connecticut beat the Sky. In the second round, the Lynx beat Phoenix. Connecticut beat the Sparks. Now, again, those are win or go home. And I say that to point out that Connecticut was the 7th seed. They were the worst team in the WNBA playoffs this year. And they came a game away from the WNBA finals when they pushed the Vegas Aces to a full 5 games. Again, the semifinals went from, again, like I spoke about earlier, the good thing about the WNBA is that things are really, really cut and dry in terms of who's good, who's not necessarily so good. And here we've got our finals matchup of the Seattle Storm and the Las Vegas Aces, which those were the 2 best teams of the WNBA this season, really by far, with the Mystics not really being fully healthy, with the Lynx not being fully healthy. And honestly, even if both of those teams were fully healthy, I still would take the Seattle Storm and the Las Vegas Aces as the 2 most talented teams in the WNBA by far. So I'm glad that the Vegas Aces were able to overcome some struggles in the semifinals when they were playing against really a Connecticut team that really had nothing to lose. Again, you go from being the worst team in the WNBA playoffs at the seventh seed to all of a sudden, hey, if we win, we're going to the WNBA finals. Well, you can kind of play with some reckless abandon. And they actually got up by 15 points on the Aces in game five. You know, win or go home. They were up by 15. They just couldn't close the deal. Aces had 18 turnovers in that game. It wasn't a pretty game, but I think that speaks to, much like their coach, Detroit Pistons legend Bill Laimbeer said, they were able to overcome some things. The Aces are uber talented. They have all of the talent in the world. They're just young. That's really the only problem the Aces have. And I thought that that may come to bite them, against the Connecticut Sun, but they were able to overcome that, which is good in the long run, really giving us the best WNBA finals that we could have had this year. Let's talk about predictions for that matchup. Storm versus the Aces, best of five. You know, I'll make it easy. My prediction is going to be the Seattle Storm. And I'll say it's twofold in terms of why I picked them. A, because they have the experience that the Aces just simply don't have. And I also think that they may be the only team that is more talented than the Aces. They're just strictly deeper than the Aces. The Aces have, again, a lot of talent, but they're very top heavy. So once you get past Asia Wilson, once you get past Angel McCautry, you know, that's really it. So if you can find a player or two that can at least score as many points as Asia's scoring, if you can find another player that's scoring at least as many points as Angel McCautry is scoring, I think you have a pretty good chance. And then you look at the Seattle Storm, and the fact of the matter is this is their second WNBA finals in the last 3 years. That says something. You look at the Aces, they were down, you know, a couple of times in the series versus the Sun. And they were down by 15 with the season on the line. I think if they get down at all versus the Seattle Storm, they will not let up like the Connecticut Sun did. I think they're dealing with a different animal in the Seattle Storm than what they were with the Connecticut Sun. So my prediction is, again, Seattle Storm. I think it goes the full five games, but at the same time, if the Seattle Storm get any kind of a lead whatsoever on the Aces, whether that's in a game or whether in a series, I just don't think that the Aces have enough talent or experience to come back and beat the Storm. You don't go to the finals two out of 3 years and that be on accident. That speaks to a system. That speaks to a way of play. That speaks to a franchise knowing what they're doing, knowing how to draft, knowing how to coach. And in the Vegas Aces, no one can deny the players are putting on the floor are great. No one can deny that their coaching is great. But at the end of the day, I just think the Seattle Storm have too much firepower for the Las Vegas Aces. You got Breonna Stewart, Sue Bird, Jordan Canada, Alicia Clark. Alicia Clark is one of the better shooters in the WNBA. And then you also have Jewel Loyd. Jewel Loyd is balling out of her mind right now. She's averaging some of the highest points per game of her entire career. And I think she's the type of player that can be an X factor in a series where both of the teams are fairly even. When you look at Breonna Stewart, who's going to give you that 20 points, 25 points a game, Sue Bird, who's going to really run the show as your true point guard, Jordan Canada, who's going to give Sue Bird a rest when she gets tired, Alicia Clark, who's going to shoot the lights out. And then you add Jewel Loyd, who was the second leading scorer in the playoffs for the team. I just simply think they have too much for the Las Vegas Aces when it comes down to it. I think, again, if they get up, which I feel like they can, as you saw against Connecticut, when they get up, they're going to put their foot on the necks of their opponent, and they're going to make sure that their opponent does not want to play anymore. The Lynx had a hell of a season, and then they ran into the Storm, who was just flat out a better team. And when the Seattle Storm got up and they got that lead, there was really nothing that the Connecticut Sun could do. Now, I don't think this series is going to be nearly that bad. I think the Aces are going to get their wins. They're going to get a win, maybe two. But I don't think that they're going to get the three and win the series. So again, my prediction, I got the Seattle Storm, worst case five, obviously, but I honestly think the Seattle Storm can win this in four, just off of experience alone. And I think that this final series is going to really be a learning experience for the Aces, because it already has been. And then I think they're going to learn some more about themselves in the WNBA finals when they're playing such a great team like the Seattle Storm. Then kind of looking into the future, my just gut prediction, I think this WNBA finals series is going to really be what propels the Las Vegas Aces to winning multiple championships and or going to multiple championships like the Seattle Storm, like the Minnesota Lynx have done throughout the 2010. So although I do think the Storm are going to win the series, I think in the long run, the Aces are going to really be the winners. And I think Bill Laimbeer is going to know how to take a tough loss from his playing days. I mean, he played with the Bad Boy Pistons. They had some terrible losses against, you know, the Celtics back in the day, against the Bulls back in the day. I think if there's one person that's going to be able to take what I think will be a finals loss and help the Aces learn from it and get better from it, they don't have a better person than the coach. They have a tough-minded guy, a tough-minded coach, both as a player and a coach, as they do in Bill Laimbeer. So thank y'all once again for joining me on this episode of Random Thoughts by a Random Dude. Make sure you tune into the WNBA Finals. Game one is Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Let me know what you think. Let me know. Hopefully, you know, this may be your first time or second time watching these women play, but I hope you can spare, you know, maybe 2 to 3 hours during your COVID day just to kind of see something different, watch something different. But again, as always, thank you for joining me. Random Thoughts by a Random Dude. Do me a favor at RT for Random Thoughts _ RD for Random Dude Sports Talk. So RT _ RD Sports Talk. Please follow me on IG. Let me know what you think. Thank you for joining me. Random Thoughts by Random Dude. Talk to you next time.
In the fabric store picking cotton. If Hov Jade and every Jordan need a Rodman. Man, Jade don't really want no problems. Driving in the same car that they kill pocket. Driving in the same that they kill pocket. Hands up, we just doing what the cops taught us. Hands up, then the cops shot.